Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
We all know how difficult it is to get any programs and services in rural, regional and remote areas, but Mabel Community Partnerships is an organisation that's delivering care on an IT platform, bringing those who want care and those who provide care together. We'll be speaking to Brad and Linda on how the program works. Well, welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, Brad and Linda. I was really interested to find out what Mabel did. You actually are a sponsor of our upcoming conference on the 6th of November, and it's all about community partnerships. Tell us about what that actually means.
Thanks so much, Kerry. We're really delighted to be a sponsor. And within Mabel, we actually run a program which is called Mabel Community Partnerships, so quite fitting on the topic. And what that is it's really a place-based social enterprise model. We partner with community-based organisations, so like your community centres and neighbourhood houses, and they then effectively coordinate a locally led aged care service within their community. So what it does is it combines the strengths of three key partners: an aged care provider who really looks after that governance and compliance side of things, the community organisation. They really do that connection piece. So connecting people that need support to stay living at home with the local people that are able to provide that support. And then Mabel, we provide the safeguarded environment and the platform that builds really that local workforce and capacity to be able to deliver the service. And I guess I'd just add, Kerry, like initially this really began as a solution for people living in rural and remote areas. They struggled to get the services that they need to stay living at home, and this was an incredible solution for those communities. But over time, it's really expanded now into supporting regional areas and also into the metro space.
So let's look at a specific example of this in action. Let's look at the sorts of services that people would take advantage of and why.
So the kinds of services that people might need is often when we talk about support work and the kinds of support that people need to stay living at home, we often think of, you know, is it showering and toileting and the personal care kind of support. And absolutely, that is a really important part of it. But what we also make sure people have support around is the daily living and all the things that they do throughout their day. So that might be assistance with transport becomes a really big one in rural areas. It might be someone to support them in meal preparation or cleaning, gardening, some social support potentially. And then, of course, we also do include that element of allied health and nursing.
So why does this program work where others may not?
Well, I think the big change in what makes this one work compared to others is, I guess, the flexibility that the workforce enjoys paired up with the control that the client or the customer has in choosing the workers. So, for example, if you look at a traditional kind of workforce, support workers, there's an idea that it's showering and toileting people, you know, for $30 an hour, and there's, you know, not a big queue of people lining up to do that. But when you kind of think a bit more about what kind of Linda said, the type of support that people need, the gardening, the social support, the transport, that's all stuff that we all do for each other anyway, and particularly in smaller communities or close-knit communities, everybody helps each other out anyway. The secret to this is kind of the Mabel platform, which allows people, regular community people, to sign up to become independent support workers, but put a safeguarded framework around them so they're insured, background checked, qualification checked, and so on. And because they're independent, it means they get to choose their own hours and their own rates. And what that does is that brings in a broader range of people who can participate in, I guess, a more modern version of support work. So you'll get people like my mum, for example. My mum's a pensioner, so she needs a bit more money. So she signed up to Mabel. And for mum, the most important thing financially is that she can control how much she earns. So on Mabel, you get to set your own rates and choose your own hours. So mum's rate is $50 an hour, and she does 3 hours a week with one client, does an hour and a half on a Tuesday, an hour and a half on a Thursday. And for that, mum gets about $150 or about $7,000 a year. You know, and that $7,000 a year for my mum is like life-changing amount of money. But then my stepdad didn't think mum being out of the house for 3 hours was quite enough, so he signed up as well. And he goes and mows lawns for 3 hours.
Well, that's good. They can do that in the same time, can't they? They can do a bit of tree trimming.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So now for them, right, that means it's close to $15,000 a year coming into their household, which as pensioners is an extraordinary amount of money. And it's a 3 hours work each week in the community, doing stuff that they've chosen to do at a rate that they feel valued at. And equally, the customer that's receiving that support has chosen my mum and my stepdad to provide those services based on kind of connections that they share. So that's what really changes it all.
And what about the training, and to what standards? What sort of quality control is there involved in this? Because I'm gathering this is a bit like a SEEK. It's a matching platform between people who want care and people who want to provide care.
Yeah, it's kind of SEEK but better, I think. So one of the great things about Mabel is that we bring in as many people as possible to help. And like the idea is that everybody has a role to play and everybody's needed. But there are some restrictions around what you can do and what you can't do and who can come onto the platform and who can't. So as you would hope, everybody, they have to go through a background check, police check, worker with screening check if they're in the NDIS, reference checks, qualification checks, all those sorts of things that you would expect of any high quality kind of recruitment organisation. But then there are kind of three levels of service that people can offer on Mabel. So there's the allied health and nursing stuff. So to do that, you've got to have that registration and be qualified and maintain your registration. So that's the nursing allied health. The next kind of level of support is the personal care. So this is kind of where people's head goes when they think of what support work is. It's that showering, toileting, manual handling, medication, that sort of stuff. To do that, you need a qualification, so a Cert 3 or above, or at least 2 years' experience in the past 5 years. And the reason for that kind of on-the-job experience counting towards a qualification is for the longest time, a lot of people have been able to come into this sector without qualifications, and they get that on-the-job training, which is incredibly valuable. So Mabel's taken a step to recognise that, to allow those people who meet that kind of experience level and have references to back it up to do that, what we call skilled work. Then you get kind of the next level is the social support and domestic assistance. And this is where most people need support in their lives to stay living at home. You know, it's hanging out some laundry, it's doing some meal prep, it's, you know, you can't drive anymore because you've got Parkinson's, and a job is to drive someone around. For those services, you know, you don't need a qualification to do that, but you need to meet all the other criteria, background checks, those sorts of things. So that's the kind of the first stage to get on to the platform. But then the ultimate safeguard is that the person who's receiving the support gets to choose who comes into their home. So you don't just have someone turn up on the door that you don't know or that you haven't chosen yourself. The ultimate safeguard is you decide who comes into your home, what services they provide, and how much you pay them.
So, Brad, how do they make that choice? Is there a review system, or they put their bio, their photo up? How does this work?
Yeah, so with Mabel, you create what we call a profile, a worker profile. There's a picture of yourself, there's a bio about yourself, so you kind of give an idea of who you are as a person, what your interests are, where your skills lie, what sort of work you're looking to do. And then you list out your qualifications and your interests and your education. You choose the hours that you want to work. So maybe you only have Monday to Wednesday available between 10 and 2. That's perfectly fine. And then you choose your rates, and maybe for, you know, someone like my mum, $50 is a perfect amount. For somebody who is still more of a closer to a working age, they might need a bit more. So their rate might be $60 an hour or so on. So you create that profile there. And then for people who need support, they can come to Mabel themselves. If they have the capacity and they want to do it themselves, type in where they live. Then all the support workers appear, and then you can contact them directly. For other people, though, they will have what's called a coordinator who will do that for them. So kind of think of a Qantas versus a Jetstar model. You might have an aged care coordinator who will do that. And that aged care coordinator in the Mabel Community Partnership is done by the community centres. And that's where this model really comes into play. Because the community centres, generally they know their community much better than a larger aged care provider. So they know who can mow lawns, who's got the qualifications. You know, they know who fell out with who 20 years ago on a show committee and can't be together.
I like so that.
That's
a very rural comment there, Brad. I grew up in the country, yes. Not talking to them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that woman's mother did something to my sister 3 years ago, so they're out.
So I can understand how the concept works. How far spread in this, and is there an even balance between those wanting care and those providing it?
Yeah, and can I just say, Kerry, Brad and I are both originally from small country towns, so that certainly helps in the work that we do to really understand the dynamics of those places. So I guess this model really took a turn in terms of its escalation when we started to work with community in Western Australia. And the reason there is that's the first time that we actually kind of connected with a community resource centre in Western Australia. And they took on that role of the coordinating service. And it really kind of just grew from there. We now, there's about 50 of the community resource centres in Western Australia that are running this model, and about 100 centres or close to nationally. In terms of getting the balance between the clients and, you know, that local workforce, I think we do, you know, a pretty good job on that, because it doesn't all happen in one great hit where you have, you know, 30 clients and no workforce. So the role that Brad and I play together is to go into the community and build that workforce. We help people sign up. We talk about what it is to be a support worker. And I guess just another point on the training piece, in some of these areas that it's difficult for people to get the training that they need, and often the training opportunities that are available aren't really suitable for people that live rurally. So what we did is we partnered with an RTO as part of a pilot program to take place-based micro-credentialing training to these smaller communities. And we had a really brilliant uptake of that. And what that meant was that we were able to really build the capacity of that local community and the people in it to deliver a wider range of services. So they did single units of competency around manual care, personal care, and assistance with medication was a key one. And we've now partnered with TAFE to do that in a number of the other communities as well. So, yeah, the programs, I guess, yeah, best part of 100 communities that we're working with now.
That's a brilliant spread there, Brad and Linda. We're talking today to Brad Grieve and Linda Doolan from Mabel Community Partnerships about their care program, a solution that brings rural, regional, remote communities together for those who want care and those who are providing care. Tell me about what you've actually learned from the program since you've been running it.
For community centres, we hadn't worked with a community centre before we started this over in Western Australia, and we weren't sure how it would work. But what you find is a lot of community centres are ideally placed to do this sort of stuff already. For a number of them, they're a trusted organisation in the community. People already go there. They help them with a number of services, whether it's aged care already, whether it's finding support services, whether it's that social connection that people really need. We find that's a big element of what we do. So they're already playing that role. So we found that the community centres are the perfect fit for it. And because there's a profit share arrangement involved in it as well, it becomes this kind of sustainable income generating tool for them, for the stuff that they're already doing, but they probably weren't getting paid for, or at least were relying on grant to provide the funding for. This turns that around and means that, hey, the work that you're already doing, you can now get paid for on a regular ongoing basis. And when you see that happen, it changes the whole community centre. In really small towns, it changes the whole town. Because what starts out as an aged care project quickly turns around into an economic development project, because all the money now coming into community from these home care packages, and all that money, instead of leaving to larger providers that are based outside of towns or workforce that travel into these communities, gets spent on local people. And those local people in turn then spend it in the pubs and the cafes and all those sorts of things, and it becomes this huge economic generator for small towns. And that's something we were really surprised about.
That's a great outcome. I love that.
Yeah, and I think what we've seen is that there are a number of community centres that are really worried about their future viability, and, you know, they're running on tight budgets and they're looking for some kind of social enterprise model that they can take on for their sustainability. You know, so this has really given a number of those centres some security around their finances and their future. It's kind of embedded them even further within their community.
One of my favourite things we've learned from this comes back to that power of the economic development. And we all, like you being from a small town, Lynn and I being from small towns, Kerry, we know the value of a pub, right? So when a pub closes down or a town doesn't have a pub, it can be pretty tough for that community. This model, I'm pretty sure, has helped 3 to 4 pubs reopen, which, if you're looking for a hallmark success, that's got to be one, I think.
Well, in the days when I grew up in the country, they had 3 pubs, the top pub, the middle pub, and the bottom pub, and that's actually what they were called.
And then you left and they closed down?
I know, unbelievable, isn't it? Brad and Linda, what about the changes to the Aged Care, the Act? How has that impacted on this program?
Yes, I suppose it's created some level of nervousness, more because we are unclear on some of the details still. And as you might be aware, Kerry, you know, there's still some lobbying around that finer detail. But I think what it does do, the communities that are working with us now, they know that they are very well supported through any change, and there is a guarantee that this model will continue to operate and we'll work with them. So we've been providing, you know, webinars for them around that upcoming change and so on. So I guess it's just being part of that journey, and also Mabel will be making some changes to the requirements for people to sign up and provide that support as well. But I think there is a level of security for them knowing that we're working through the platform that way. They know that they're going to meet all of the obligations that are required by government.
Yeah, because if anyone's kind of listening and they think, oh, this sounds good, but I don't know anything about aged care and these bloody reforms, what does that mean? The great thing about this as the community centre, you don't need to know all of that yourself. Right. There's a partnership involved between the aged care provider and Mabel, and we're all in it together. It's a team that really makes it work. So those changes, will go through them together. The community centres will be led through them and supported through them the whole way, because we know that kind of none of this really works if the whole bit doesn't work for everybody. You know, it needs to benefit everybody for it to work, and we'll make sure that that happens.
Well, thank you very much for sharing about the program. Of course, you'll be at our conference on the 6th of November. But in the meantime, so how do people find out more about Mabel Community Partnerships?
So if they want to find a bit more about Mabel Community Partnerships, they can simply Google Mabel Community Partnerships and it should come up. If people just land on the general Mabel page, they go, oh, I can't bloody see what these two were talking about. It doesn't look anything to do with country. So just make sure you kind of put in that full word, Mabel Community Partnerships, and maybe just chuck in a few other keywords like rural or remote, something like that. And then they should find it. I'm not sure if there's a notes section in the podcast for this, Kerry, but if there is, you can meet my details in there.
We put it up on the, when people go to the website, or there's a click point to go through to your bios and about the organisation as well.
There we go. There we go. You make it easy. Make it too easy, Kerry.
Just like Mabel.
Oh, there we go.
There's a tagline for you. Thank you for joining Community Conversations today, Brad and Linda. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Kerry.
This was the last in the series of episodes for Community Conversations. It's been delightful to share across the community sector all those people who provide services and programs, and of course, sharing stories about our community centres. I'd like to thank Coast FM and in particular the team of Peter, Jim and Tiff, who provided the support to Community Centres SA to deliver this podcast series. Thank you for listening. Please go back and listen to the past episodes and share them on your network. And most importantly, thank you for being a part of Community Conversations.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentresa.asn.au.